Thank you very much. And tonight on Arena, we preview the much anticipated season 3 of The Crown, and The Report, Marriage Story, Le Mans 66 and Last Christmas are the movies up for review. #51551 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. And we'll start with those four movie releases. The Report will be the first one we'll talk about, which is an American political thriller set in the aftermath of a report into the 9/11 attacks. We'll also have Marriage Stories, which sees a couple in crisis under the watchful eye of writer and director Noah Baumbach. Le Mans 66, a Formula One drama set in 1966. And finally, Last Christmas, a seasonal rom-com inspired by the song Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart, and a whole bundle of others, I guess, as well.
Yes, indeed.
By George Michael. And that's Yes Indeed from Paul Whittington there and Yvonne Nolan, who's not commenting on Last Christmas or even George Michael. Hold your fire, Yvonne. There'll be plenty of time. But we're starting with The Report. Annette Bening stars here as Senator Dianne Feinstein, and Adam Driver, first of two films he's in that we're reviewing tonight. He's a researcher, Daniel J. Jones. What's he been looking into? What is he up against here, Yvonne?
So in the aftermath of 9/11, his character, Dan Jones, is a young man just going into the FBI. As soon as 9/11 happens, he decides he wants to specialise in counterterrorism. And from there, he falls into, quite quickly, there's an investigative committee set up by Congress into what's known as enhanced interrogation techniques.
Torture.
Yes, but if you can imagine, the film catches this slow process of the tragedy that happened in America, the awfulness of the 9/11 attacks, the public need for revenge and justice, maybe, you know, depending on which side you're on, and a feeling of pressure within the administration that this must be addressed.
Okay, let's have a, this is a section, a selection really from the trailer for the movie, and you'll hear Daniel Jones here, Adam Driver, assistant to the Annette Bening character, and you'll, some of those, the subtleties of what you're talking about are even suggested within the trailer, I think.
Morning, Dan.
Morning, Senator.
Have you seen the story today in the New York Times?
Evidently, the CIA destroyed tapes of interrogations of Al-Qaeda detainees.
I want to find out what was on the tapes and why they were destroyed.
No paper.
Paper is a way of getting people in trouble at our place.
At our place, paper is how we keep track of laws.
Dan, you need to be careful here.
They can't destroy the document. They can go after the next best thing, you.
If the Times had your report, we would print it tomorrow.
No. If it's going to come out, it's going to come out the right way.
And among the voices you heard there, Dan Jones, or Daniel Jones, played by Adam Driver, and Annette Bening playing Senator Dianne Feinstein, who's the woman who really saying, what are these documents that have gone missing? It has, even in that trailer, it has the whiff of all the president's men off it.
It does. I mean, it's not as, that's a very high bar, and I think that's one of the greatest thrillers ever made. I still don't know how it works, why it's so gripping, because nothing happens much. But this isn't quite as good as that, but it is very good. And Adam Driver, who shows his versatility this week in two very different roles. He's very good as this guy who's an obsessive person, I think, and he becomes obsessed with it, and he's in this basement, building, amassing all this evidence. And then we see the beginnings. It almost seems quaint as a problem now in America, but the CIA begin to try and interfere with the legislature, which they really should not do, and they break into the office. So he's up against it. The report is going to be very unpopular. Nobody wants it to come out. Even the Obama administration don't particularly want it to come out because they don't want to be seen as vindictive. But the most damning thing he finds is that this, whatever all these pretty terms they thought up for the torture they were doing, it yielded precisely zero useful information.
So one of the problems I think with a film like this, and even as Paul touched on there, Yvonne, when he was talking about all the president's men, you know, nothing happens, or at least what is happening at a snail's pace. And it's very fine little details that actually finally open up the evidence, which in some case leads you absolutely nowhere. Scott Z. Burns is the writer and director here. Does he maintain attention? Does he maintain the interest throughout?
I think that at the beginning, this film has a rocky beginning insofar as for maybe about the first 10 minutes, it's hard to get a handle on what's going on because he's been, you know, we see him leaving, you know, entering his new career.
Yeah, we're given a lot of information
quite quickly. He's in this basement in Quantico, and he's also, you know, going to the to talk to Diane Feinstein in her office and all the, between two locations. But then Burns has a really good idea. He gives a second storyline in that first quarter of the movie, and we're at the black sites. We're seeing what the torture techniques are, and we meet the psychologist who comes up with these torture techniques. He's an ex-Air Force man who's also a psychologist. He's never been in an interrogation situation himself. And but he's got a PowerPoint presentation of how, you know, making, you know, building relationships with a terrorist suspect doesn't work. What really works is these techniques.
He's an idiot, this guy, isn't he?
He is a complete idiot and venal.
And given that you're describing that character in that way, how graphic are the scenes of torture? And is that problematic? Do we need them to be
I think we need them for two reasons. I think because of the seriousness of the subject and because it was the beginning of this kind of steady loss of America's reputation internationally, sort of, you know, you could go back further, but it certainly did no good. But what it also does is it speaks to your earlier question. It breaks up the investigative side of it, so it gives you something else to hang on to.
There's a very human side to this as well, which is the Annette Bening character. Let's have a listen to a clip which features her speaking to Dennis McDonagh, played by John Hamm. He's the chief of staff, and again, there's a little debate here as to what public service is and what do the public need to be told and what do they not need to be told.
Did you hear what Lindsey Graham said this morning about the agency breaking into our computers? The legislative branch should declare war on the CIA. Heads should roll. People should go to jail.
Is that what you want? Send people to jail?
We do have jails for a reason.
The Justice Department investigated the CIA and they decided not to prosecute. It's their call, not ours. Now, when this administration took office, we faced the very real possibility of economic collapse. We had a decision to make. Do we spend our political capital on going around trying to find people to blame, or do we solve the problem?
Maybe the way to solve the problem is to hold people accountable. Do you ever wonder why history repeats itself? Well, I think maybe it's because we don't always listen the first time.
Senator, the people at the agency, they have families. There are children who might lose a parent.
Years ago, some radical group put a bomb in the flower box outside of my daughter's bedroom window right out here. Had it been any warmer out, it would have exploded. And then there was the time that I found Harvey Milk shot to death in his office. I think I'm aware of the risks of public service.
Annette Bening and John Hamm there in a scene from the report. Is she good in this, Paul?
Yeah, as we said, we're saying now, she's always good, and she's a great counterpoint to Adam Driver's character because he doesn't see the big picture, but she's obliged to.
Yeah.
And John Hamm, who we don't see enough, is great because he's a Democrat. He's a kind of nice guy, a guy you go for a drink with. But when it comes to politics, you know, cynicism, you know, knows no bounds.
Stars from you, Paul?
Four for me.
Very solid four. Yeah. Overall, and stars from you, Yvonne?
Yeah, a good solid four for me as well.
Right, so it sounds like it's worth seeing.
And it's extraordinary as well that it's script practically that makes this film great, that in actually, you know, managing all the jobs it has to do.
Right.
Really hard.
Scott Zed Burns, then writer and director, gets the thumbs up from you as well. Let's move on to Marriage Story. And this is the second film in which Adam Driver stars. He plays the character of Charlie, married to Nicole, played by Scarlett Johansson. What's the story of the marriage? Is it in trouble or what's going on, Paul?
Well, at first we think everything is rosy in the garden, Sean, because we hear in a voiceover what he appreciates about her.
Well, do you know what? Let us hear what he appreciates about her. Yeah. And I'll start with what she appreciates about him, actually.
What I love about Charlie, loving you. He loves being a dad. It's almost annoying how much he likes it. A little too long. He cries easily in movies.
I cried 4 times.
Me too.
He's very competitive.
What's this? Who owns Baltic Avenue?
He's very clear about what he wants. He's a great dresser. He never looks embarrassing, which is hard for a man. He takes all of my moods steadily. He doesn't make me feel bad about them.
So that's what Nicole, played by Scarlett Johansson, loves about Charlie, played by Adam Driver. Let's hear the other side of that equation.
Sure, why not?
What I love about Nicole. Loving you. She's a great dancer. Infectious. She is a mother who plays, really plays. She gives great presents. She's competitive.
What? Are you kidding me? You want to be
free. She knows when to push me. And when to leave me alone.
Okay, so there we have Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver, what they love about each other. As
sounds
in
great.
Nicole and Charlie, sounds perfect. Do they both love Otis Redding? Do we get a lot of Otis Redding?
We don't know whether they do or not. That is just used irrespective of them. But it turns out that they've been asked to do these, write these things down by a divorce counsellor, which I believe is a thing in America. I don't know if we need counselling, but anyway, we're about to find out. Because basically, he's an avant-garde theatre director in New York. She is an actress. She was once a Hollywood actress, and she came to work with him, and she's kind of his muse, and they have this boy, Henry, together, who's 8. But she has decided she's had enough. He can be, you know, quite sort of controlling and tend to confuse other people's desires with his own. She wants to go back to Los Angeles to live with the son. He thinks this is temporary. It may not be.
All right. I suppose Baumbach has been known to have some of his own autobiographical material in there. He was married to Jennifer Jason Leigh, a Hollywood actress.
With whom he has a son.
He was an avant-garde New York director and kind of indie films as well.
Yes, and she was a Hollywood actor who came. Yeah, no, I think there is a bit in that. The thing about it is, though, it sort of soars away from that quite quickly into you just become so invested in them. And what's interesting about them is that they're both, maybe not in love, but they still love each other, and they don't like what happens. The big mistake they make is involving lawyers, and then it becomes this monster.
They don't like what happens, and it's dear.
Yeah,
it's expensive. Dear, Laura Dern, Alan Alda, Ray Liotta here as well. This is quite a cast.
It is quite a cast, and the lawyers, he doesn't make the mistake of just dehumanizing lawyers. Like, they're quite funny. Laura Dern's great. She's this very brittle smile, and for a long time, Scarlett Johansson's character, you know, sort of confuses her with a friend. And Alan Alda is hilarious in it, actually. He's very funny in it. He's this mensch lawyer who keeps saying, a couple of months after he's been hired, he keeps saying, "Now, if I were representing you..." So that's worrying for Adam Driver's character.
All right. And Marriage Story is on general release, as are the other films we're talking about tonight, but it's also available on Netflix. So this is all to do with the Oscars, isn't it?
Yeah, these big films will all be contenders, but in fairness to Netflix, at least they're giving these things 3 weeks now. This is being streamed in 3 weeks' time, so you can go and see it in the cinema if you want to, and I think it's worth doing so.
All right, well, I was going to ask you that. I wonder how many people are going to say, "Well, I'll just wait. I can see it on my telly." But you're saying it's worth seeing in the cinema. Stars from you, Paul.
I like a half star, as you know, Sean, so I'm going to give it 4.5 stars.
And
Scarlett Johansson, they're both very good, but Scarlett Johansson, I've rarely seen her being better. She's very good.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Marriage Story, then. Don't wait for it to come up on Netflix in 3 weeks' time, says Paul Whittington. Get out to the cinema pretty soon to do so. Let's go back to one that the both of you have seen then, Le Mans 66. This is, again, like the report, we have actual events here, and this brought you back, I think, Yvonne, to noisy television in the 1970s.
Yeah, it reminded me of either on Saturdays or Sundays, and of course we had no social media. Back then, you might be watching telly of a Saturday morning, and there was always car motor racing on.
Yeah.
And I remember that I had an uncle who'd come home from the UK, and he would watch Le Mans, and I'd wonder what the hell it was about.
A 24-hour race. He was watching a lot of it.
It was on throughout the evening, as I remember, in bits. So, even though, as good as the next man, I like a car and I like the idea of speed and all that kind of thing. So I'm not girly in that regard.
Right.
But I really didn't feel that any great enthusiasm for the film. So I was amazed to be amongst a rapt audience myself. I was at the IMAX. It was full. the audience was interested and I was interested.
Okay, well, sure. Give us the basic setup here.
So the basic setup is that in around 1965, things weren't going well financially at the Ford Motor Company. They decide what they really need to be is, you know, be able to compete with sexier cars, because even Chevrolet are beating them.
That's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign. So the marketing manager comes up with this kind of idea, and their chief car designer, that what they really need to do is get into car racing, because that's how you get the label sexy.
Carroll Shelby was the car designer, was he? Or was he employed by Ford?
So Shelby, who's a great racing driver, now retired, is employed by Ford to help them build a racing car that can beat Ferrari, because what's happened is Ford have tried to buy a share in Ferrari or buy it out completely. Enzo Ferrari has dallied with them a bit, and then he's gone and made the deal with Fiat. And what's more, he says that Henry Ford II is nothing like the Henry Ford. So he's only a poor descendant of his father.
All right.
So this gets Ford's goat, and he is going to splash millions
to get
into a racing car.
So the Carroll Shelby character is played by Matt Damon, and the driver in this case is his pal, played by Christian Bale. The driver's name just won't come to me right
Ken
now.
Ken Miles.
Ken Miles. So I suppose as much as anything is about the relationship between the two men, is it, Paul?
Yeah, and also their relationship between the suits and Ford, who are very corporate, and neither of these two guys are particularly Ken Miles, the driver. You get two types of Christian Bale in films, it seems to me. You get sort of skinny, nervy Christian Bale, or bulked up Christian Bale. This is skinny, nervy Christian Bale.
Okay.
And he overacts, but he's great fun in it.
All right, well, here's a row between the skinny, nervy Christian Bale in this version, disputing something in the rule book about the trunk of the car, I suppose. What of them should they call it, the boot? Let's hear what they call it in this clip.
Nothing in there about my trunk and your lovely little portmanteau.
You're holding the 62 edition of the SCCA.
You can stick this bloody sticker where the sun.
Hey, Bill. Right? Hey, Bill, what seems to be the problem?
Well,
the problem is that Bill here.
It's an arsehole.
No, he doesn't mean that.
No, yes, he does.
No,
yes,
he does.
Yes, no, he really does think that Bill is an arsehole.
I'm just doing my job here.
Bill, in my experience, there is, listen to me, something like this, there's always a middle ground. All right, now Ken's out of line.
And I'm just doing my job.
I understand you are. You know how he gets on a race day.
You know that. All right, but you're not going to DQ us over a trunk. Ah!
Happy Bill!
Yeah, I'll handle it.
The builder in question, by the way, is an SCCA official. I should have explained that before. And Sports Car Club of America. I guess it doesn't matter whether it's called a trunk or a boot. It's in a bit of a mess at the end of that particular scene. Is it full of that kind of lovely kind of that Brummy North of England banter that's going on between the two men?
Yeah, you somehow really notice, and some people have complained about the variations in Christian Bale's Brummy accent throughout, because sometimes he sounds a bit Cockney and sometimes he sounds a bit Welsh.
Like he's forgotten how to be English because he's been away for a long time. We have to give him a bit of
But still
slack.
In all, in the scorching American sun, this kind of iconoclastic, rebellious Englishman who has a passion for cars, really knows them, and he's trying to fight for how he knows to build a fast car and to drive a car fast. And the Matt Damon character, you know, tries to support him in that. So there's a great partnership, a buddy partnership between the two of them. And then the other thing is, Matt Damon's character doesn't get a personal life, but Ken Miles does. And so he's got a wife, Molly.
Played by Katrina Balfe, Monaghan actress.
Played by, to Davenant's best, Katrina Balfe. And she's really wonderful in it. Now, she doesn't have a huge role, but her on-screen presence and, you know, reputedly, Molly Miles was a very balshy, sassy woman. And that really comes across. She's the linchpin. She talks sense to her husband and anybody else who listened to her. Yeah. And their little son, Peter is absolutely devoted to his father, loves car racing. And in fact, in real life, later on in his life, he became somebody who involved in the car industry himself.
All right. James Mangold directs here. It sounds as if you both enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it, Paul?
It's about a half an hour too long. But I love the sound of those souped up 60s race cars. And there's a wonderful scene in it where Tracy Letts, who's terrific in it, plays Henry Ford II, who's this very formidable, irascible person. But he... Matt Damon's character takes him out in the racing car they're building around a track and scares the life out of him. And his expression, that is wonderful.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a 24-hour race, so I suppose you could expect that it might be a bit too long. Half an hour too long, according to you. Stars, Paul?
3 for me, but I really enjoyed it.
All right. And Yvonne?
It was a tad too long for me, not as much as half an hour. And I thought, looks-wise, direction, acting... I mean, it ticked all the boxes for me. So I'd say 4.5.
Oh, yes, you enjoyed this a lot more. Okay. And maybe that's because of your uncle and his car racing watching in the 1970s. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on then. It's a Christmas movie.
Yes, it is.
Last Christmas.
Yes, it is. 15th of November.
Last Christmas. And I'm reading this. The much anticipated rom-com Richard Curtis.
By somebody, possibly, yeah.
Now, don't go all cynical on me.
No, I have to say, I didn't read it because I don't like to read reviews. We were saying this before, I don't like to read reviews before I see films, but I saw that it was given a 1-star review in one of the English newspapers. And I wasn't expecting it to be awful, and I didn't find it awful at all, actually.
Oh great. Mm. And I think you found it appalling, Yvonne, didn't you?
I thought it was an appalling mess. You know, a Christmas movie should work. It doesn't have a whole lot of work to do. You think of great Christmas movies like Elf or The Grinch or whatever. You know, I mean, nearly all of them are predicated on there's going to be gift giving, there's going to be love all around, there's going to be all that kind of stuff. But this tries to do so much. In its span.
Even more than Love Actually.
So it's, even more than Love Actually. It's the story of a girl called Kate who is...
Emilia
Clarke, who's a not very successful actress in musicals. Something's happened to her about a year ago, around Christmas time, health-wise. And since then, she hasn't been able to really get musical roles. But you presume she wasn't very successful anywhere. She ends up working in a year-round Christmas shop in Covent Garden, and where she has to dress as an elf.
Year-round, oh Lord. Okay, and she meets a guy called Tom, played by Henry Fielding. And here they are, I suppose this would be, it's a rom-com, so this is near enough girl meets girl, or girl meets boy point in the rom-com story, I guess.
I really enjoyed our walk today.
Ditto.
Would you like to repeat the experience?
Would you like to give me your number?
I don't have a phone.
Oh my God, I was just beginning to think you're not as weird as you look.
Before you throw me in the bin with the rest of your battered conquests, it's not completely true. I do have a phone. It's just locked in a cupboard.
Why?
Well, I got so tired of staring at my hand all day. I mean, you should try it.
It's like saying you should try death.
I think somebody really wants to get hold of
you. Yeah, no, I know. Someone really isn't going to get the chance. No.
Ditch that. All of your stresses will just melt away.
Oh, but I just like stress.
Oi, you getting on?
Yeah.
Your chariot awaits.
Indeed.
I'll see you at the store.
Okay.
And don't forget, look up.
Oh, for God's sake, shut up, will you?
So there you go, Emilia Clarke and Henry Fielding. That sounds as if they're a lovely couple and that they'll get over the obstacles and all will be well, Paul.
They are, but there are
insurmountable obstacles.
Insuperable indeed, yeah. But so it's like I would say that this film is quite ragged around the edges. And I think Emma Thompson co-wrote it, and she plays her...
Is it a Yugoslavian mother?
No, a Croatian mother.
Croatian
I think.
Mother.
And again, she has this accent. I go, oh, here we go. And actually, I thought she got away with it. She was quite funny in it, actually. The songs are used reasonably
George Michael
well.
Songs. Yes. How could you go wrong?
That's what you think.
There is one song called Feel the Pain, which is a very good George Michael song, actually, and that's used in the middle of it. I think it's right, but I do think it's charming, and I am not, I can't watch Love, actually, so I wouldn't be a fan of these kind of things.
But charming.
I thought it got away with that, and she's quite good in it. Early on, her comic timing is a bit off, but then it's good.
Okay, there's a huge reveal that obviously we're not going to go anywhere near, but you thought it was beyond naff, Yvonne?
Oh, yeah.
As you thought of the film.
And for anyone that can... see a signpost through one eye in a cinema. This is signposted throughout.
I'm beginning to suspect I'm a bit dim, actually, because a few people said that to me after the screening and I hadn't seen it coming, so there you are.
And the other thing is about Kate's as a central character. You know, in the beginning, she's really out of control. She's skittering through her life. She wears the big red lips and a lot of dark eyeshadow and stuff. And the more she is influenced by Tom and the more she gets to be a better person, the more pastel her clothes become.
Okay.
and the paler her makeup. And it's a film about, it's a very conventional film. It says, if women behave like this, look what the lovely
look
things can happen.
Okay.
Don't be skittering
stars
around.
At Christmas. I suppose Christmas Bells out of five for this one.
One for the George Michael music.
Paul?
A solid three Christmas Bells for me, Sean. A
ting-a-ling ting. Yeah. Okay, that is Last Christmas. And the other films we were speaking about, Le Mans 66, Marriage Story, The Report, all of them on general release. Marriage Story available on Netflix in 3 weeks' time. Yvonne Nolan and Paul Whittington are reviewers this evening.